You got your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy, please, chapter number 10, verses 12 through 14. I'll be preaching the last in the series entitled Living by Faith in a Culture of Fear. I have some of my Baptist brethren says you can't preach expository messages and them be alive, and you can't do series on Sunday morning and those be alive. I want to beg to differ with you. God has blessed this series. He has put His hand on it. We've had almost somebody saved every time one of these messages have been preached, and to God be the glory. And if you're here lost this morning, I'm expecting you to be saved. I got a God that honors His Word. I got a God that said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I got a God that is ready to put you under conviction and you can come and get saved this morning. That's my God.
Amen.
Living by faith in a culture of fear. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Let's look at verses 12 through 14 and also verse 17. The Bible says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God. The earth also, with all that therein is." Boy, praise God. That's shouting. Look at verse 17. "For the Lord your God is the God of gods." I don't have to look at a little Buddha to get a thrill. I've got a God that is a God of gods. I'll give you something else. He's the Lord of lords. He's a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons. Hallelujah for that. Nor taketh reward. Praise God. Our thought today, our seventh sermon in this series is, it's really straight out. I'm going to be straight out this morning. I'm challenging every one of you with this message. Here's my question. I've already answered it twice. Do you, or do I, actually fear God? That's a stirring thought. You might say, "Preacher, what does it mean to fear God?" First of all, I might say it means to take God seriously. I really personally, now this is just a little rabbit hole chase. I really personally think a lot of us in this room really don't take God seriously. The Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. See, I'm talking about taking Him seriously. You take Him seriously if you come to Sunday morning worship. You take Him seriously if you'll be here tonight. You take Him seriously if you'll be here Wednesday night. You take Him real seriously if you go soul winning tomorrow morning with the ladies. You'll take Him real seriously if you come out to visitation and soul winning on Thursday night. You take Him real seriously if you've got enough courage to come out even on Saturday when we go soul winning. And the bus minister said, let me ask you, how serious do you take God? Also, it means to obey God in worship. The Bible said in verse 22 of 14, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. You say, preacher, what's that saying? I think what we just a moment ago, we don't really have the full significance of that. When those ushers came forward with those plates were for you. And by giving in that offering, you are, guess what you're doing? You're worshiping. praise God I can shout a little bit this morning over the singing. I praise God I can shout a little bit over the scripture. But it is amazing to me that God has given me a tool in His Word called a tithe. That when I am not my best in any other area, I can do that and worship Him if I don't feel like doing anything else. So feel good if you've done the right thing this morning. But if you robbed God this morning, you didn't worship Him and you're robbing God, and that's dangerous. That wasn't what I'm going to preach, but I might as well hit it a little bit. Two things. By the way, I just got 2 points today. My wife will tell you, don't worry about the 2 main points. It's all them sub-points. And I have those today. Number one, I want to talk to you about the requirements for fearing God. Or standing in the awe of God. I tell you, ladies, when you sang this morning and you said, let God be God, I honestly don't think we really fathom what you sang this morning. If we let God be God, everything would change. If we let God be God, our whole life would be turned upside down. We would look at Him in a new light and we'd be in awe of Him. I am not sure that any of us are really in awe of Him, and I'm not sure that we fear Him like we should fear Him. Let's look at a few things. Why should we stand in awe of God? I'll give you several things. We ought to stand in awe of His possessions. You said, how much does He own? Well, look, let verse 14 tell you. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also, with all that therein is His. That means everything you got, everything I got, all the minerals in the earth, all the gold in the earth, all everything in the world, there are God's. I know our government wouldn't say that, but I want to tell you, we were built on that principle that God Almighty knows everything about us. He's the head of everything.
Amen.
Well, listen, we all get in a problem once in a while where we need God to show up and help us in the area of possessions. Somebody help me. I want to just tell you something. This man over here needs help in possessions. And you say, well, you act like my children, and both of them are here this morning. I remember James. God bless him. He's here, and I love you, James, but I'm going to tell a story about you. He would get, this is when we really struggling. You know, I mean, in the early days, when I didn't have enough money to pay my bills. You know what James says? He said, Dad, just write a check. And I said, James, you got part of the principle. He knows this now, don't you? But you've got to have enough in the bank to cover what you did. Or they come and after you. Oh, Daddy, write it anyhow. I want to tell you what, I've got a God that writes every check for us. I have a God. David said how's it go? Yes, thank you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed beggar bread. You said, how you know that? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and let me say something to you. And he owns the taters in there too.
Amen.
Whew. Number two, stand in awe of His purpose. This right here makes me want to shout. And if I wasn't an old man, I'd take off running right now. Deuteronomy 10:15. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them and to choose their seed after them. Even you above all people as it is this day. Whew. What was His purpose? His purpose was to bless Israel. He blessed the fathers. And he said, guess what? I'm going to bless you. And you said, what is his purpose in the 21st century? He is here to bless Taze Valley Baptist Church. He's on the throne. His purpose is you. His purpose is me. He wants to bless. Well, glory to God. Hey, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. You and I are his purpose. You say, what is it all about? It is you and I he loves. It's you and I he died for. It's you and I he arose for. It's you and I he gave the commission to. It's you and I. You say, you mean that God has put all the stock in the church to carry the gospel and to help the hurting and take care of the dying? Yes! Whew. Number three, stand in awe of his position. Deuteronomy 10:17a. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and the Lord of lords. He stands above all of them. Now, this is where I probably am going to cross over into trouble. Hello? This pushes the Muslims out of the way. This pushes the Buddhists out of the way. This pushes the New Agers out of the way. And their little gods. Somebody help me a little bit. He's the God of gods. He didn't say they weren't other gods. He just said, I am the God of gods. And I am the Lord of lords. You said, I want to tell you, I don't really fear him. You better fear him. He's high. He's over everything. He can shake your bush anytime he wants to shake your bush. Amen. He can shake my bush anytime he wants to shake my bush. You know, by the way, I'd rather talk about your bush being shaken, but I have to tell you, he shakes mine too. Lord, I love this. Man, I'm about free as a bird this morning. I'm about ready to fly out of this place. Number four, stand in awe of his power. Deuteronomy 10:17b, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Then Deuteronomy 10:21b, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. You said, what things? I'm about ready to take you. Here's where we're going to lap, okay? They saw the Red Sea part. And God stayed up all night. Whew. They saw God send manna from heaven. You said, I wouldn't want to eat bread from heaven that fell on the ground. Well, you eat bread from heaven that fell on the ground. If dew was on the ground to protect the bread. And by the way, that dew's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And I'm taking manna all the time. And I read this book all the time. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit's in my life. Revealing it to me and feeding it to me. Somebody help me. Glory to God, that's good. Then they saw God send quail. How you? In the wilderness. They out there murmuring, acting like a bunch of idiots. And all of a sudden, a bunch of quail comes. Kill me! Kill me! I'm here for your food. Literally thousands of them. You ever ate quail? Anybody? How many people's ate quail? Nobody brought that to the critter dinner last night. I wish somebody had shot a quail. I'd ate the whole thing. Because I know what I was preaching on today. Whew. Listen to this. I need a little bit of this myself. He made the bitter water sweet. My life was full of bitters. My life was full of hurt. But because of that tree that was cut down and put in the water, the same tree he hurt on made this bitter boy a blessed boy. Made this bitter boy a hopeful boy. It made me sweet. I love people that I can't stand. Now y'all were thinking it. I'll just preach it. Listen to this. God performed miracle after miracle after miracle. I look at my history here. I look back over 35 years. And He's done miracle after miracle after miracle. You're looking at a congregation that is a miracle. Started with 84 people, 44 that night. Up in that little building on the corner, they expected nothing else to be here. Those deacons and trustees even wanted to sell what you and I are worshiping in this morning because they didn't have any faith. And a preacher man stood up and got in their face and said, "You can't buy land. Don't sell it. He's in heaven right now." But we owe Him two things. We owe Him for not selling this land and standing up against liberalism and took this church out of a conviction into the truth. I got some of my brothers wanting to go back that way. I'm not going that way. We independents still got the truth. We ought to hold to the truth. We ought to believe the truth. Whew. Oh, Lord. They saw, boy, I like to tell this. They saw the Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea. They saw the 10 plagues fall upon Egypt and not hurt one of them. They saw God's presence hanging over Mount Sinai when His presence came over Mount Sinai and He brought Moses up on the mountain to give Him the law. They saw God's presence. Whew. God gave Moses the 10 commandments. They saw it. Let me give you this. Y'all starting to believe He's all powerful? God brought 3.5 million people out of Egypt. And they stood 5,000 abreast. When they walked through that Red Sea, they walked through at 3 miles wide. Y'all thought it was just Him raising up a foot or 2 foot enough to walk in? No, 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 no. He walked up. He brought up a stretch of water that was 3 miles wide. Had to be to bring that ground across. Somebody shout. I didn't think He was that powerful. He got you right in His hand, Buster. He's got control over you. You may not believe it, but He does. He has control over everything. He has control of my salvation. He has control of my security. He has control of everything about me. Whew. When they put up camp, I studied this out. This is amazing. When they put up camp, the square miles was 7,500 square miles just to put up camp. And they'd done it for 40 years. Whew. And it took $4 million a day for 40 years to feed that crowd. It took, are you listening? God provided 11 million gallons of water for their needs each day. Equivalent to a freight train of tank cars 1,800 miles long to haul water each day. And they had no tank cars. And they had no big trucks. You said, what they had? They had the hand of an Almighty God. They had the power of Almighty God. They had a God that is over everything. Well, let me, Lord have mercy. I'm still on point one. Is that all right? When you fear Him, what do you actually do? There's three things. I want you to get this. This is important. This is the heart of what I want to preach to you this morning. Number one, you take God personally. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." I want to tell you, when I got saved, I come from a real rough background. And I'll say nothing else about it. And when I got saved, my image of God was that He's everything. That's been 40 years ago. Now, let me give you something. I still believe He's over everything. He does things that I can't even imagine. Some of us were in Wednesday night service. You're not supposed to have anybody saved in Wednesday night service. Most churches not having Wednesday night service. We had 5 saved. And another lady was ready to be saved. Then Saturday, the critter did, we had somebody saved. And I still believe, in all my unbelief, I still believe He's a mighty God. I fear Him. By the way, it's a personal choice. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him. There's some people in here, I talked to you a little later, earlier. God wants to save you this morning. It'll be a personal choice. Now, He's going to convict you. He's going to show you your sin. He's going to show you what you need to do. And He'll draw you here. And then you do your human responsibility, and that's receive Him as Savior and accept His blood atonement. Amen? Not only that, it's a perpetual commitment. Proverbs 2:1 said, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." Here's my problem. I'm not bad at that personal choice thing. I did that 40 years ago. But my problem is this perpetual commitment thing. I believe the great writer, I think it was Tozer, might have been F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer said something about us. A living sacrifice doesn't stay on a rock too well. Listen to me, I've been all over the rock. I'm not off of it yet, but I might be on the corner right now hanging like this. And the only thing I can do, I'm hanging by thread. I'm ready to fall off the rock. The only reason I'm not falling off, He's got me by thread. Aubrey, He's got you by thread, buddy. God, stop dying! And then I put a commitment to Him. And I say, I'll take you by your word. That's how I've lived the whole time. I don't know why I'm acting so foolishly. And don't look at me like I'm the only one who acts foolishly. You do. But you've got a perpetual commitment. It's not what you've done. There's some of you this morning, I love you to death and I'd do anything for you. But you're not as spiritual as you were last year. You've let whatever get in your way and you're not as close as you were. And you're right there on the rock, still on the rock because you'll stay on the rock. But you're going, whoops. You need to make a commitment. You say, I'm afraid to come up and I'm afraid that people, what are they going to say if they see me come up? If they're a Christian, they'll say, hallelujah. And probably they need to be up beside of you. Then Proverbs 14:2 talks about a powerful change. He that walketh in his uprightness, fearful Lord. But he that is preserved in his ways, despises him. Or who? You that think I can handle it. Now come on. Let me ask you a question. Come on. How many in here besides me feel like you can handle your problems sometimes and you tried? Come on, raise your hand, you bunch of dirty liars. Can't do it. I wish I could. I wish I could. There are people come up to me. I had somebody come up to me this week. And I was thinking in my mind. They came up and they said, this is my problems. They said, boy, what can you do? Boy, you want to see the air lit out of somebody. I said, nothing. She said, what? You're the preacher. I said, nothing. It's out of my hands. I said, but if you make a personal choice, and if you make a perpetual commitment, I'll tell you, ma'am, there will be a powerful change in your circumstance. I can't handle no problem. But I got a God. I know a man that can. Amen. Amen. Lastly, and I'm done. Well, I got a couple more under that. Lord have mercy. Still got more points. I stand in all of His provision. Listen, can I just say this to the church? When I started here, and I'm just going to be frank with you. I started here 35 years ago this coming September. And I know I'm right on this, so any debaters come and see me. The total church offering for a year, Cliff, you remember it, average $500 a week, was $25,000 for a year 35 years ago. It takes $25,000 to $30,000 to keep us running every week. You said, you're scaring me to death. No, it's the truth. This last year we give $648,000 to somebody else, missions. 33% of the total giving. You said, oh, no, that's going too far. No, it's not going too far if you believe God can supply it. That's why we took up a motion this morning to help that missionary that's broke down on the road. That's why we're taking an offering for him. Because we believe God can take care of it if it's right.
Amen.
And I stand in awe of His protection. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Now, can I tie it all together? And I'll do it real quickly. The requirements of fearing God, but also the results. What will happen? Can I give you some good news? God actually will protect you. For the Lord God shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Oh, somebody shout. I'm going to tell you what I've been to where I was on one foot. I thought it's over. I'm done. I just about got a foot into failure. Then God said, oops! I think not. I took care of you for 35 years. I still do that. And then there will be His purpose for us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. I'm 61. Be 62 in July. And I know that's true. That's my life verse. But I'll be honest with you. When you get heat in the heat of the battle, and when you're fighting for every inch of the ministry, and the devil, if you people don't believe the devil's after this church, you're absolutely out of your mind. He's after your preacher, after you. We'd love to destroy it. Look at this massive crowd. Love to destroy it. And I'll be honest with you. I've been thinking about stuff lately. And I thought, well, what am I going to do with my life? I'm 61. Jared says I'm over the hill.
Just getting started.
I'm what?
You're just getting started.
But I have to be honest with you, Jared. Sometimes it's so dark. And I start trying to figure a way here. You said nobody else in this building does that, do they? Just old rotten preacher. Oh, we do. You think you'll ever stop doing it? When I get delivered out of this flesh. And lastly, there will be power, His power force. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Boy, it's something. Everybody thinks when a preacher gets behind the pulpit, he's got it every time. I want y'all to know something, man. It's not the truth. I don't have it every time. For some reason, I still haven't got this one down completely, but I understand it. It's just I haven't got it down completely. Some reason, when I feel my weakest, I become my strongest. When my infirmity is weak, I'm made perfect in His spirit. When I don't want to face y'all at all, thank God He said, my grace is sufficient. Amen. Bow your head with me. My question is what it was before I started preaching. Honestly, after hearing this message, do you really fear God? How many folks know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Raise your hand.